March 7th, 2021, beautiful sunny day. It's supposed to warm up to 23 degrees today.
Before we start, birthday Jackie.
Happy birthday, Jackie, exactly. Jackie had a birthday this week. So Jackie, when you're listening, you know, when we're talking about you. I did send her a quick happy birthday note on Facebook, but Jackie's birthday. The message this morning is quiet and peaceful. It comes from 1 Timothy 2. Starting at verse 1, it says, "Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." We are commanded right here to pray for everyone. Not only pray for them, supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, women, children, boys, girls, everybody. That is a commandment to each and every one of us. It's an exhortation here from Paul telling Timothy, but in the law it says to love your neighbor as yourself. How many people pray for themselves? If we're praying for ourselves, we ought to be praying for other people. If we're praying for our circumstances, we ought to be praying for other people's circumstances. In James, it tells us that those who know to do good and do it not, to them it is a sin. We don't think about that. Or at least I don't. Until I have to catch myself and remind myself that in not praying for other people, I am disobeying God. In not lifting up other people, I am disobeying God. I don't know if you've seen I've seen the thing several times on Facebook, seen it in different places. It talks about praying for enter the political leader, you know. I've heard it for different ones. And then there's a psalm that goes along with it. And the person got curious when they saw it. It was supposed to be on a bumper sticker. Person got curious when they saw it and looked up the psalm. And I don't remember what it is off the top of my head, what chapter and verse it is. But it says that their days may be short and another take their place. That is not how we're supposed to pray for people. We are supposed to lift them up, that they come to the knowledge of God, that they learn to seek His face, that they draw close to Him and are led by His Spirit. For each and every person, that's what we're supposed to be praying for. That God be glorified in their life, that they come to a spirit of repentance if they're not following God. That if they are following God, that they learn to follow Him closer. These are the things we're called to do, as it says right here, that we might live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. You know, if we're tearing other people down, we're not godly. If we're tearing other people down, we're not being reverent. Now, in the days of this political climate, there's a lot of things going on in Washington. There's a lot of things going on throughout the land that I disagree with, and I'm sure a lot of us do. All of these things happening. And the temptation is to say, "Get them, God. Sick them." It doesn't work that way. God's not our attack dog either. God sees things different than the way we do. If we had the eyes of God, we would look at people and have our hearts broken that they are being disobedient to God. Have our hearts broken that they are not doing what their sovereign Creator made them to do, created them to do. But we are called to pray for other people. We're called to pray for everyone. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. If God's desire is for everyone to be saved, that is what we should be praying as we pray, you know, your will be done, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. If God's will is stated is for everyone to be saved, that should be our prayer for everyone. Whether we agree with them or not, You know, people come in agreement with God, if agreement with the things of God, if they decide to follow the things of God, that they're going to start doing things that are right, because they will also have that love the Lord your God and all your heart, with all your heart, mind, soul, heart, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. They will also have that expectation and understanding. So that's what we pray for people. Lord, that you would touch them, that they would come to the knowledge of the truth, that they would draw near to you, Father, that they would recognize their sin and repent to seek your face, because it is not your will that any should perish. In Philippians 1, beginning with verse 3, again, as Paul was talking to Timothy a minute ago, now he's talking to the church at Philippi. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy. If we stop right there, do we pray for other people that way? Every time I pray, I think of you. Every time I pray, I lift you up. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who began the good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Do we look at a brother or sister who seems to be stumbling, seems to be having a difficult time, and pray for them and remind them that he who began the good work will be faithful to complete it? There are a lot of people in politics who will proclaim a religion, proclaim some sort of some flavor or some variation of the Christian church. And do we pray for them that as God has begun a good work in them, he will be faithful to complete it? Do we lift them up and seek his face? When we pray before God, do we recognize that even though he's not done with us yet, and we certainly can't cast stones, as him who is out without sin cast the first stone, that there are other people that need Jesus at least as much as we do? The other side of that is true too. We need Jesus at least as much as the wickedest sinner out there. Because while we may judge on our own scale, sin is that which separates us from God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Each and every one of us. So rather than say, look how wicked they are, say, Lord, thank you for your mercy to me. Lord, we ask that you extend that mercy. Father, that as you've began the good work in me, as you brought me to an altar of repentance, Lord, that you would do the same in this person. Father, that you would do the same in each and every one of these people that you placed on our heart. Each and every one of these people that have come up in our mind, Father, that are on our news feed, Lord, that are in the leadership of our state, that are in the leadership of our nation, that are on the city council, that are the local police, whoever the person happens to be, that are the manager of the local store or the cashier of the local store. Each and every person we encounter, are we lifting them up before the Lord? Because we just read in 1 Timothy that we're to pray for everyone. Prayer and supplication and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for everyone. Lord, are we doing that? I'm not. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I'm not. I forget and I fall short. That's why Sunday morning is so much fun, because I get to preach to me and you guys get to listen. But God is at work. And he's called us to do this. Verse 7. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch and both in my chains and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Does our heart break for the messed up relationships? Does our heart break for broken friendships? Does our heart break for separation between people? This time of the COVID quarantine, we've been in it for a year now. A year into 2 weeks to flatten the curve, here we are. There's a lot of people we haven't seen. Most of the people we know, or most of the people we would fellowship with on a regular basis, we haven't seen. You know, Deb and I were attending the pastor's conference. First Tuesday of each month, gathering together in Waterbury. Ministers from around the state coming together. We haven't had that in a year. People that are dear friends that we want to reach out to. We haven't had the opportunity in a year. It's difficult. But are we praying? Are we lifting people up? Not just our friends, not just our loved ones, but everyone is what we're called to do. Continuing on at verse 9 says, "This I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise," or to the glory and praise of God. Are we praying that for people? That they be filled with all knowledge and discernment? Are we lifting people up and praying that the Spirit of God would be manifest in them in such a way that others might see them and just see the Spirit of God shining through them? I mean, I don't yet have a face glowing so much I have to wear a veil like Moses did. But that doesn't mean I don't pray for it. And it certainly doesn't mean I don't pray for it in other people too. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing for the light of God shining through people so brightly that that people walking by say, "What's going on? What's different about you?" Do we lift up our brothers and sisters and ask that God just manifests His love and His grace and His mercy in their life in such a way that it impacts everyone they encounter? Are we lifting up people to pray for them? Are we praying for people and lifting them up before the throne of grace? We're not. So are we repenting because we know that it's a sin to not do it? What's the thing for sins of omission and commission? The things I did wrong and the things that I didn't do, the right things that I didn't do. It's pretty easy to remember the things we've done wrong. It's those things that we know to do good and do it not. Oh, just kind of sweep that under the rug. Doesn't really count. Yeah, it does. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning with verse 9. "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and also that you would aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your own hands as we commanded you, and that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, that you may lack in nothing." Paul says God Himself tells you to love one another, and you've exhibited that. But I want you to continue more and more. God has done the same in us. He's taught us to love one another. And it's so easy to love the people that we're around, that we get along with. It's not so easy to love those people that are getting in our face, to love those people that are doing things that we find abhorrent, love those people that are doing wickedness as we understand it, or as according to the Word, as we understand the Word. But we can't let our upsetness, our hatred for their actions interfere with the fact that we are called to love the people. You know, you've heard it said, you know, hate the sin but love the sinner. And we hear that all the time. But how are we doing that? How are we putting that to practice in our own lives? Are we truly loving those people? So often I'm not. But we're called to. Each and every one of us is called to. Verse 11 said that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your own hands as we command you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack in nothing. Paul says there in verse 12 that in doing these things we become a witness to the people that are around us. If all the people around us see is somebody angry, somebody who is not showing the love of God, how is that going to be a witness? If all they see is how we claim to be righteous and we're not doing the things our own Bible tells us, How is that a witness and how is that a light? Because I'll guarantee you, there are people out there who know the Word of God. I was one of them, I know. Who are very quick to point out our own shortcomings. Who will use our own shortcomings as an excuse for the fact of them not following the things of God. I know, I've done it. I've been there. In that 16 years when I didn't darken a church door, I was quick to point out the hypocrisy of people claiming to be Christians. But I was, in my own mind, I was morally superior because I knew I wasn't living a Christian life. So I, quote, didn't pretend to be a Christian, not living it, but I was quick to point out where somebody else was falling short. Call them a hypocrite. I was so much better because I wasn't, at least I wasn't a hypocrite. No, I was just as lost. But God is doing did wondrous things and worked in my life. And it took a lot. You've heard this. I went through a lot before I decided to stop running from God. Before my life finally got so messed up that I stopped running from God and I gave up. There are people out there who've come from a similar path. Have learned the Word of God. Have seen it. Know the power of God. Yet because of their own shortcomings, their own failures, their own misunderstanding of Scripture or whatever, have walked away. But they're quick to point out failures. They're quick to point out. So when we don't love one another, when we don't show the love of God to the people around us, when we don't lift people up and pray for them, when all they see is bitterness and anger, when all they see is us not being able to submit our hearts and lives to the Lord, it gives them an excuse for turning away in their own mind. Obviously, it won't last on the day of judgment, but the goal is to bring them to repentance before the day of judgment. Scripture says some men's sins go beforehand to judgment, others follow after. Praise God, my sins have gone beforehand to judgment. It's taken care of, covered by the blood of the Lamb. Does my heart break? Do our hearts break for the people around us who have not yet reached that point, who have not yet surrendered and not yet submitted themselves to the Lord? Back to verse 9, 1 Thessalonians 4. Concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Each and every one of us are taught by God. He's called us to show His love to the people around us. Philippians 2, beginning with verse 12. Paul says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed. Have we always obeyed? Nope. Lord, help us. Lord, be glorified in us. Lord, continue, Father, that good work that you started. We know, Father, that you are faithful to complete it. Verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean we have our own plan of salvation. It means walking this out in our lives. As God has revealed something in us, we are to confess it, we are to bring it to Him, and we are to get up and start walking in what God has given us to walk in. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Praise God. He's the one that makes us want to and the one that makes us able to do what He's called us to do. We don't have to walk out our own salvation with fear and trembling in our own strength. We don't have to walk through this life in our own strength. God is the one who makes us want to and be able to do the things that He's called us to do. Praise God. God is the one who makes us able to lift up people and pray for them. Pray for their salvation. Pray for a conversion of their heart. Pray for their repentance. Verse 14. Do all things without blaming, without complaining and disputing. Ow. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Anybody like to have a good argument?
Yes.
Now, can you define a good argument for me?
Yeah.
That's the problem. We might like a debate, but when a debate turns into an argument, it's no longer good. We can share a point of view, but when we allow it to become contentious, we start straying. We start getting into the area where we become an obstacle. I said this before. You start a conversation with, "You're wrong!" It's not going to go well. If we start a conversation with, "That's an interesting point. Can you tell me how you got there? Can you walk me through the logic in that? What brings you to that conclusion?" Then we're discussing something. Verse 15, "That you may be blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of truth, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." Amen. Go back and do that all together. Verse 14, "Do all things without complaining or disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless." Children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as light in the world. Can we agree we're in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation? Yep. How do we reach this crooked and perverse generation? Scripture tells us right here, do things without complaining or disputing, that we may become blameless and harmless. Children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. If we're not shining as children of God, if we are not allowing God to work in us and through us, if we are not allowing the Spirit of God to give us a heart of compassion for the people around us, then we don't become these blameless and faultless. We become somebody to point a finger at. We become an obstacle. We become a barrier and a stumbling block to people. Because if they can't look at us and see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven, if they only look at us and see our shortcomings and our failures because of the attitude of our heart, which is not set to love one another, is not set to reach out and show God's grace to them, we become a stumbling block and a barrier. It gets to the point where there is absolutely nothing for them to envy and to desire in our lives. We have to allow God to work in us. We have to allow God to humble us. We have to humble ourselves. If we don't humble ourselves, God will humble us. That much I'll tell you. And that's the same for everyone. But we are called to allow God to work in us and through us. And we do that when we start praying for other people, when we start lifting up other people, when we start pleading and making intercession for them, as the Scripture told us a few minutes ago. That God be glorified in their lives, that the grace and mercy of God be manifest in them, that their hearts and lives turn to Him in such a way as to bring grace to the hearer, as to just show the love of God, to bring them to repentance, to bring them a change of heart, a change of attitude. If we will lift up other people, if we will bring them before the throne of grace, if we will come in obedience to the Word of God and pray for others as the Word tells us, then God will work in ways that we can't even imagine. Final passage of Scripture. You've heard this one before. Of course, as you read the Bible, you've read this one before too. 1 Samuel 12. Beginning with verse 18. Now this is set the stage here real quick. The people of Israel decided that they didn't want God to be their ruler anymore. They wanted to have a king like everybody else. We want to be just like everybody else. Why should we be so different? We're outcasts. And God gave them a king. Samuel cried out to the Lord and said, cried out to the Lord because the people had rejected Samuel. And God said, "Oh no, they didn't reject you, they rejected me." So here in verse 18, "So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all of the people said to Samuel, 'Pray for your servants to the Lord your God that we may not die. For we have added to all of our sins the evil of asking a king for ourselves.'" Then Samuel said to the people, "Do not fear. You have done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king." Did you catch that in verse 23? "I will not sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you." We need that attitude in our heart when we're dealing with people. I'm not going to sin against God by refusing to pray for somebody that has done exactly what I told them not to do. They won't listen. I tried to tell them the right thing. I tried to give advice. They shut me down. They don't want to hear it. But I will not sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for people. Lord, we need this attitude in our hearts. We need this to be the motivation of our mind as we love one another, and as you've called us to love our neighbors as ourselves, that we would recognize that in failing to pray for them, it is a sin in our own lives. I mentioned James earlier. Says, "To him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is a sin." Recognize that it is a sin against the Lord when we don't do what he's called us to do, to pray for everybody. Moses or Samuel had that understanding. "Lord, I will not sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." Each and every one of us is called to be a light in this world. And if we are seeking our own benefit, if we are seeking our own ideas, if we are seeking our own plans and purposes and not the purposes of God, and not seeking his face and not coming before him pleading for the souls of the people around us, then we are being disobedient to what God has called us to do. And Scripture has some nasty things to say about the children of disobedience. I don't ever want to be lumped in that. But as God is working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, he's the one who makes us able to do the things that he's called us to do. If we want to lead a quiet and peaceful life, as we read in Timothy, we should pray for kings and all of those in authority. That prayer and supplication and intercessions be made for everyone. That we might lead a quiet and peaceful life. It says back in 1 Thessalonians, I believe it was. Probably not. No, Philippians. That we lead a quiet life by showing the love of God to the people around us. We can't have the love of God to people if we're not willing to at least pray for them, if we're not willing to lift them up and ask that God be glorified in their lives. It is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that is what we are called to do, is pray that the will of God be, perfect will of God be done in their lives. We already know what it is. That they would turn from their wicked ways, that they would seek the Lord, that their hearts and lives be touched and changed, that they would come to the Lord in repentance. That's what he's called for each and every one of us. Jesus came for the whole world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He reached out for everyone. Our hearts need to be such that we are willing to lift up those people that stand in opposition. Those people that consider themselves our enemies. Remember, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. People are not our enemies, but that doesn't mean that they don't count us as enemies. But that we lift them up, asking that the Father touch and change and turn their hearts, that they might come to repentance, that they might come to know him and the power of his resurrection, that they might work out their own salvation with fear and trembling, that they might draw close to the living God. And if we'll lift up other people, then we will see God do some wondrous things. But if we can't be bothered to lift them up, we are disobedient children. It's not a good spot to be. Because God disciplines disobedient children. Lord, I don't want that. I want to be a faithful servant. I want to be one who does what you've called me to do. Who shows the love you've called me to show. That others might see my good work and glorify my Father in heaven. Praise the Lord. Father, we do thank you. We thank you, Father, for the reminder to lift up one another, to be faithful and obedient in praying for one another, praying for each and every person, Lord. As somebody comes across our thoughts, as somebody comes across our newspaper or our news feed on the computer or whatever it is, that our first thought should be to lift them up in prayer, that you touch them, that you work in them, Father, that you be glorified in their lives, Father, that you would stir in them, Father, to seek your face. Lord, that you be glorified in them. To pray for kings and all in authority and for each and every person. You tell us to pray for everyone. So, Father, so often we've been disobedient to your word. So often, Father, we have fallen short. But we thank you, Lord, for the reminder that you are still at work and that you who began the good work in us is faithful to complete it. And just as you are doing the work in us, you are also doing the work in others. So, Father, we give praise and we give thanks for what you've already done. We ask, Father, that you'd keep us and that you'd guide us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.